the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. I got a fine guest live via phone. He is John Nichols from The Nation. John, appreciate you sticking around, man. I don't know if you've been listening to the radio locally here in the Madison media market, but I already hear that Rebecca Clayfish and this new entry to the Republican field of, you know, governor wannabes, Tim Michaels, man, the right-wing talk radio airwaves, they're already filthy with ads. And my TV set's starting to get filthy as well. Now, Alex Lazary, he's running for the U.S. Senate seat. He's got lots of ads running as well. I think Godlewski has joined him of late on the airwaves. But, John, like half the voters, both the Republican gubernatorial race and the Democratic senatorial race, the hope to, you know, beat Ron Johnson, I mean, like half the voters on both sides are undecided. John, we're only like 3 years away from primary, three months away from primary day. That seems strange. Shouldn't there be more preference shown at this late hour?
Yeah, up to a point. These are races, obviously, open on each side. You don't have an incumbent in the Democratic primary or in the Republican primary, Democratic primary for governor. So in that case, you do have a... It's coming forward, none of whom is a absolute locked-in front runner. But, there is a lot of kind of fluidity in these races. And I think the interesting thing is that in the Republican governor's race, it's fluid because people keep getting into it, right? I mean, you thought for a long time your race was going to be Clayfish versus Nicholson. It's clear Nicholson wanted to run it. Nicholson just wanted to run for something. If the Senate race had come open, he would have done that. But he was going to run for something, and so it became clear it was going to be the governor's race. But now you've got Rantham in there, sort of like, you know, the most extreme. You got Tim Michaels coming in with, I think, quite a bit of establishment support, but it's a different kind of establishment. It's not the Robin Boss inside the Capitol types. It's the money people, right? Yeah. Even folks like Diane Hendricks.
The haves and the have-mores.
They have, like, a whole lump of lot. So Michaels is coming in as a very interesting addition. He is somebody kind of wedged into this race, I think, because a lot of establishment types looked at Clayfish and Nicholson and even, you know, obviously Rantham, you know, a little bit, and determined that these people can't do it. They're not viable. They're not logical candidates, not logical nominees. And so they found somebody else, an ambitious guy who once ran against Russ Feingold. That's telling me that race really is fluid. And obviously, Michaels, he wasn't polled in the Marquette poll, so we don't know where he would register. And I don't think he would have registered very high initially. But by the time the next Marquette poll comes, I suspect there's a chance he will be, you know, very, very prominent in that poll. I don't necessarily know he'd be the front runner, but I think he'll be a serious player. And he could well be the nominee. Now, over on the Democratic side, there's something very interesting happening there. The polls that we had, you know, certainly late last year, early into this year, I think tended to be name recognition polls, right? You were literally, who do you know? And obviously, as you point out, there's a lot of folks who don't know any of these candidates. Beyond that, there's sort of a lot of folks who are, you know, kind of up for grabs. Mandela Barnes really benefited initially because he was better known. He had, you know, run statewide and people had, a lot of Democrats had worked very, very hard for the Evers-Barnes ticket in 2018. Mandela Barnes has maintained a lot of presence around the state. And so I think, you know, he had very good numbers. But now that you've seen Alex Lazary put $4.4 million into an ad campaign in a matter of a few months, Lazary's effectively closed that gap. And so Barnes lost some support. Lazary bumped up significantly. They're now within 3 points in a poll that has a 6.6% margin of error. So effectively, they could be tied. There's a reasonable argument there. But the interesting twist on this is that the person who had the biggest bump up in the poll was Godlewski. And she went up 4 points in this poll after having done a much smaller buy than Lazary. And so I think you have to keep an eye on her. If she increases her spending, increases her campaigning, I think she is I think it's fair to say she's still very much in the race and has, you know, like a lot of potential territory that she could make up. And finally, it was interesting to me that the fourth candidate in that sort of upper tier of the race, and that's Tom Nelson, he stayed even. He was five before, he's five now. Obviously, he would have liked to have bumped up. There's no question of that. But, you know, Nelson's running a very different kind of campaign. He is never going to be the TV candidate. But he is continues to secure pretty significant endorsements. In fact, just today he got the endorsement of Our Wisconsin Revolution, which is the Bernie Sanders group. He's got the Sunrise folks. He's got Western District of United Electrical, which is a good historic old union with, frankly, a lot of retirees in the Milwaukee area. So he's starting to piece together a little bit of that sort of grassroots campaign. I don't know that that'll be sufficient to, you know, begin to, you know, meet the challenge of all the TV advertising. But what I would suggest to you is that you put all these pieces together, I think we've got a very open U.S. Senate race with clearly four candidates who have the potential to make a lot of movement in this race. I do still think, by the way, final thing, that Barnes continues to be the front runner. I think that continues to be the reality. And when he goes up on air, that could well bump his numbers back up. But I don't think that this race is anywhere near settled at this point.
John Nichols, my fine guest for about two more minutes. John, Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post has written extensively about this U.S. Senate race and the Democratic field. And she at one point embraced Tom Nelson's candidacy. She said some nice things about Godlewski. And I would point out, John, she seemingly takes the attitude anybody but Mandela. And you know, perhaps she's an outsider. She doesn't know the lieutenant governor like we do. But, John, she seemingly wants to set up a contrast with Ron Johnson, and she's afraid that Mandela's a little too liberal. Could you see validity to her opinion?
No, I do not. I think that's a wrongheaded opinion of an outsider who doesn't really know much about the state. Whether you like Mandela Barnes or not, whether he's your choice or not, he has won a Democratic primary statewide. He's a player on a Democratic ticket in 2018. And he's frankly maintained a lot of presence outstate as somebody who, you know, shows up at farms, visits every county. I think he is in many ways a very classic contender for a U.S. Senate seat. And I think people that don't see that kind of miss something. However, what I will add, the final element, is that I also think that Godlewski's got a similar claim, right? She comes from Eau Claire. She has been around the state a lot. She's an enthusiastic campaigner. And so I think this idea of, you know, like trying to have people from Washington, D.C. try and pick the candidates for the U.S. Senate race, I think is pretty silly. And bottom line is, too, you know, I don't want to kind of say something nice about everybody, but yesterday I happened to be at events with both Tom Nelson and Alex Lazary. And both of them are showing more and more strength, as campaigners. And frankly,
John, so sorry, man. John Nichols from The Nation. We're out of time. More Devils. Come back.